If you would, turn to John 8. John, Gospel of John, chapter 8. In John 8:12, we read, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that knoweth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm interested in life. I like life. I enjoy life. I hope you do too. It beats the alternative. I'm a people watcher. I love to watch people. I watch people. I watch animals. I watch animals walk their people. And I'm so glad for everything that God has placed around me. My wife and I, we watch a lot of stuff. Just to show you how exciting our life is. Occasionally, we'll go out and sit on a patio and watch the lizards. I mean, you know, you're really getting to the peak of excitement when you're out there watching lizards. You know, one of the things I've noticed is that a minority of people that I watch, people that I see, people that I meet and run into, a very small minority, are really happy. You think about the people you meet in the grocery store, the people you see coming and going around your neighborhood. They don't have the light of life in them. And how sad. You think about the privilege that you and I have in having the light of life lighting up our soul. And that's really what I want to share with you tonight, is some things about light. Not the kind of light that we pay the power company for, but the kind of light that we can only get through and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he brings us the real light of life. Jesus has told us, he told his disciples, and through them as they wrote what he told them in this book we call the Bible, Jesus told us that we are the light of the world. The light of the world. Think about that. If you were not here, if you were not in the group of people that you operate within, they might not have any light in them or around them. While he was on the earth, he was the light of life. But he departed to live in heaven. And he told his disciples that they would be the light of the world. And so today we have the same job. We are the light of the world. If there's going to be light in your neighborhood, you are it. If there's going to be light in North Charleston, we are part of it. There are other good churches, Northside and some of the other churches, they produce light. And as children, we try and communicate this idea to the kids, and they sing, this little light of mine, okay? It doesn't have to be a little light. It can be a searchlight. It can be the kind of light that penetrates a person's soul and makes them aware of the fact that it's dark in there. Too many Christians, instead of being a searchlight, are more like a nightlight to get to the bathroom by in the dark. What kind of a light are you going to be? What kind of a light does God want you to be? Now, Jesus told us we're the light of the world, and what exactly did he mean by that? I know that he said that he was the light in the world, and I believe that he was, but he has given us a job to do, and there is a way that we should operate. I have a suspicion that some of us are not consistently producing light. Now, maybe that may not affect anybody here tonight, but I believe that God wants us producing all the light we can. Now, one of the things I do in my people watching, and again, we're going to go to Scripture because I want you to understand what the Scripture says. In Matthew 6, so turn there if you will, Matthew 6, verse 22 through 24. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Isn't this interesting? That this is where he goes from this business of the light of the eye. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Who are we serving? Who are the people around us serving? Who are the people who are responsible for running things right now serving? There is a movement to put a bushel over our light, to separate us so that that light is dimmer. There are so many places, so many states, I think there's 17 of them yet, where they cannot meet for church. Yeah, they cannot meet for church because of the coronavirus. The governor has declared it is illegal to meet in church. Oh, you can have your abortion clinics open, you can have your bars open, but you cannot have your churches open. And there are people who are going against this, because they know what God has said. They know what our Constitution says. And so, folks, we need to be light. For too long, we have not been the light that we need to be. We have not selected people to serve us in our government who are light. We have selected people who are darkness, filled with darkness. And so we need to prayerfully, which we can do this evening, pray for our nation, pray for the election that's coming up, that God will direct us, each one of you, are going to cast a vote. It's either going to be for a good man or woman, or a bad man or woman, one that is a person of light or one that is a person of darkness. And in too many cases right now, our choice is between darkness and darkness. You know whose fault that is? The people who are supposed to be light. So we need to consider this. When I look in the eyes of some government officials, I don't see any light at all. I see demonic activity. I see hatred. I see a desire to crush us, to crush us as Christians, as lights, to put out our lights, to extinguish our lights, and that's what they are moving toward. And we have to be aware of that, folks. Many Christians are like cockroaches. Somebody turns the light on and they go scurrying off someplace where it's dark. We don't want to be cockroaches. We want to be fireflies. When's the last time you saw a firefly? It's been a while. But you see them. There's the dark, and suddenly there's a light. And that's to be our life. That's what our lives are supposed to be like. We are supposed to be like fireflies, lighting up the little area that we are in. You know, Jimmy Hogg, I used to occasionally take Jimmy down to MUSC when he was visiting down there. He said something one time when I was with him. There was a nurse coming through. She had a styrofoam container of food. And Jimmy said, "Can I carry that for you?" And she looked at him, you know, "No." And I've not forgotten that, Jimmy. I haven't. In fact, Connie and I sitting out at the apartment on the patio. We're on the front of the building and on the ground floor, so we see everybody coming in and out. And when people come in, they bring in a lot of food. And so I'm using Jimmy's icebreaker, okay? "Can I help you with that?" And usually they shake their head and go on, you know. Or I say, "Do you need any help eating that?" And that gets even more of a reaction from them. But you know what happens? The next time that they come by without food, they say hi. They're beginning to communicate with us. They wave at us when they go by or when they're across the street. And it's because we're trying to be a light where God has put us. And I appreciate that in Jimmy. He's always trying to be a light. And so I hope that all of us as members of Coastal Shore Baptist Church, that we are trying to produce all the light around us that we can. God has given us His Word to be a light for us in our attempt to follow the path that Jesus has laid out for us. In the scripture, we have many examples of how God has worked in the lives of other people to bring them to a point where they are useful as lights to show Jesus. Paul was one such example. He told about his conversation in the 26th chapter of Acts, his conversion. And let me just read part of that. It's in Acts 26, 13 through 18. If you want to check up on whether or not I'm sharing the Bible with you or not. Acts 26, 13 through 18. "At midday, O king," he's appearing before King Agrippa. "And who knows who you may have an opportunity to appear before?" And he's appearing. He says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.'" The prick was a metal prong that was put on the crossbar of a wagon when it's being pulled by a horse or an ox, so they would not kick back and break that. That way, if they kicked back, it would stab them, and they wouldn't do that again. They would learn. "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And then the Lord said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Or Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles to whom now I send thee." And then here was the purpose that Paul was given, and it is the same purpose that Jesus Christ has given to each of us, myself included. Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Light. And from the power of Satan unto God. Satan is the power of darkness. God is the power of light. That they may receive forgiveness of their sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Each of you who know Jesus Christ as your Savior are supposed to be a light in the world all around you. If your light shines, others will see Jesus in you. He will. They will. Jesus is light, and when he saves somebody, they become a source of light wherever they are. Just as Paul became a source of light for many churches, Paul was a fantastically used man of God. Paul's light was not diminished, even with age, even with torture, even with the many, many tribulations that came into his life. He was a source of light, just like you and I are supposed to be. When we consider Jesus, we have to think about him being the light of life. Without life, there is no light. Without light, there is no life. Without light, there is no life. The sun produces light. Lay a board out on your lawn. Go back 4 days later and pick that board up and see what you've got underneath it. Yellow or brown grass. It's dying. No light. This world around us is dying because we're not producing the light that we need to. Now, so many of you have shown initiative that I thank the Lord for you every morning. I do. You're reaching out to people who are hungry, people who have needs, people. And there's going to be some new ways that you're going to be hearing about. Some of our folks are investigating those right now, and I'm waiting for them to bring their reports back. But there will be many ways that all of us can serve people who need light. Now, we started off with John 8:12, where Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I would like each of you who are gathered here tonight to think about what kind of light you might be for Jesus. What kind of a light are you? Jesus never intended for us to not to be a source of light around us once we're saved. In 1 John 1:5-7, we're told, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Each one of us is a different intensity of light for Jesus. Each one of us is. Sometimes people like Charles Stanley or David, Jeremiah, are like searchlights. You want to be a searchlight? You want to put forth the effort, the energy to be a searchlight? Nah, I'm content to be a bathroom light. Just a night light. You think about your life. You think about your life in the light that is in it. Is it the kind of light that you think God is happy with? The kind of light that He reached out and saved you for? Or do you think that maybe, just maybe, there's something better, something more that He would have you to do? I believe we all need to be more. Like I said, this body of believers has done very well in reaching out and sharing the light of the gospel, the light of God's love for people. And it's radiating from our hearts. It's got to go outside the walls of this building. We can have all the light you want in here. We can love each other. We can do for each other. We can make sure that every one of us are moving forward for the Lord. But unless we take that light out there, it's not going to accomplish what God needs for it to accomplish. And so we need to think, we really do, we need to think about how we're going to get that light out there and where we're going to shine it so that it will be of benefit to all the people that we're going to come in contact with. You see, we're living in a pretty dark world. This is a dark world. This is probably one of the darkest times in the history of this country. Each day it seems to get darker. But we need to remember that love is light. Love is light. And the more we love, the more light we're going to be producing around us. And some of you are making an effort to get food to the homeless and the hungry, and that's a way of shining more for God. The challenge we all have is to produce more light. More light around us so that others will see God. They'll see Jesus. I'm so glad tonight that God has given each one of you light. I trust that you're going to be looking for ways to shine that light into the hearts and souls of the people around you. I told you we're going to do something a little different tonight. We're going to go to a season of prayer. And we're going to pray for just three things. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for our church. And we're going to pray for revival. And so we're going to have a season of prayer right now. You're going to be talking to God. And the prayers that you pray right now, if they are without sin, if they are from a pure heart, when you get to heaven during the great tribulation, you're going to see that same prayer poured out as incense to God. Think about that. The prayers you pray tonight will be seen again. They're an offering, our offering tonight to God. He saves our prayers. He collects them. They are a sweet-smelling savor to Him. So we're going to take the next few minutes and pray as the Holy Spirit leads. Ladies, you please join us, and we men appreciate to hear a woman's prayer. Your hearts are different than we grouchy old men, okay? But I'm going to ask Jimmy if he will open, and then just pray as the Holy Spirit leads. And when it gets to be time, I'll close. Jimmy?